BAM Radio Network.
Repetition is important in learning, and with music, you've got that built-in repetition. Children rarely say, can I do a worksheet again? But when you sing a song, they're usually eager to sing along and do it again. Oral language is the foundation of literacy. All of the experts now are saying, back to our roots. Talk to them, read to them, sing to them. You have to lay that foundation of oral language before you can go from there.
Welcome to Music and Learning. I am Marianne Harmon. Welcome, Dr. Jean. We're happy to have you with us today to discuss kindergarten, why a garden of children should be filled with song. In today's climate, many kindergarten teachers are often heard saying, I don't have time for music anymore, because now kindergartners are required to do so much more academically. Please address that.
Well, I would say that music is the most convenient way to address your academic needs. First of all, smart teachers know the research. They know brain research, reading research, and they know their standards. And music is the most convenient way to do that. It just adds joy to your day, puts a smile on your face, and all of those little in-between times that we waste, having kids stand up, sit down, get quiet, we can use music to fill in and reinforce skills.
Could you share some strategies for kindergarten teachers who would like to use music but still meet their state requirements for benchmarks?
Well, repetition is important in learning, and with music, you've got that built-in repetition. Children rarely say, can I do a worksheet again? But when you sing a song, they're usually eager to sing along and do it again. And music is multisensory. The more senses you activate, the more likely the message is going to get to the brain. And I think one thing is important is that you don't have to have a great voice. I am not a musician. I'll be the first one to admit it. I'm just a teacher who likes to sing. I don't think a child has ever said, you don't sing well. I've had grown-ups tell me I don't sing well, but children don't do that. They just enjoy the music. And so I think it's important for teachers to realize you don't have to have a great voice to utilize music in your classrooms.
I like what you just said about you'll very rarely or never hear someone say, let's do that worksheet again. And they will say, can we do that song again? And as you said, repetition is key. These are the little skills that I think sometimes our kindergarten teachers are tripping over because they seem reticent or scared. Like if the principal might walk in and catch them singing.
Well, that's why if they know the brain research and the reading research, they can clearly say oral language is the foundation of literacy. All of the experts now are saying back to our roots, talk to them, read to them, sing to them. You have to lay that foundation of oral language before you can go from there. And so with these songs, you create these pathways in the brain for future learning. I love what Marianne Wolfe, who wrote Proust and the Squid, said about music. She said, music acts like a placeholder. So even though you might not be introducing letters and sounds with pre-K children, when you sing those songs, then there's a place in the brain for when the more formal instruction occurs, they can kind of plug it into the brain.
Many teachers became teachers because of their first experiences in kindergarten. And what can be done to get back to remembering or even reminding people that kindergartners are still babies?
Well, they have a whole lifetime to be a grown-up, but they only have one chance to be in kindergarten. It should be, you know, one of the most exciting years of their life. And you've got to remember that children are going to forget what you said and what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And that's the magic of kindergarten, that, you know, they all feel good about themselves and they feel that they can be successful and capable and we're all friends. I also wanted to mention something that Pete Singer, the famous folk artist, said. For thousands of years, people have used music to lighten their loads. Teachers have heavy loads now. Children have heavy loads. Expectations are very high for them. And so music can add some joy and some lightness to the day. You're going to hear more and more about the connection between the body and the mind in years to come. In fact, many states are requiring teachers to integrate 40 minutes of movement within the regular classroom day. And so with these songs and with tying in your movements, you're like getting it all done at once. You're helping children learn as well as developing good bodies and good brains.
Can you share a story about a child you have worked with who was struggling with getting used to being in school and music was a way that reached them?
Oh, there are so many. I've had teachers tell me children who are not English speakers that will come to school and they will play the Spanish CD for them. The music comforts the child and helps make those bridges and connections. I've had stories where parents have told me that physicians have said their child with autistic indicators would never talk, and yet they can sing and they can be successful. Stories where teachers have been assessing children on the days of the week and they couldn't say the days of the week, but they could certainly sing the days of the week. Music gets stored in the innermost places in the brain, and once children have a song, it's going to be with them the rest of their lives.
You're inevitably going to have the teacher next door who says, Dr. Jean's class is too noisy and we're trying to learn how to read. How would you respond to having a partner kindergarten teacher with that attitude?
Well, I would say death is silent and learning is noisy. And again, that oral language is the foundation of all learning, and children have to talk and they have to sing. And I don't know any research study, Mayor, that doesn't say over and over again, talk to them, read to them, sing to them, back to our roots. This is what we need to do with children. So many children now are what I call two-dimensional. They've lived with a screen in front of their face all the time, and they need that hands-on multisensory learning. With music, you activate their imagination. I don't like to show videos when children sing. I just like them to sing and process the words and move and learn in ways that are natural to them.
What's the most important thing you would want these parents and teachers to remember from this interview?
One of my favorite quotes is this: we are so busy trying to give children things that we didn't have that we are failing to give them what we did have. Children's brains are not that different today than they were 50 years ago or 100 years ago. Children need that language. They need that music. They need that rhythm. They need those nursery rhymes. They need those old traditional songs. They need to move. And if you did a brain scan of children doing a worksheet or playing it on the computer, and you did a brain scan of children doing a finger play or singing and dancing, you're going to see a whole lot more activity in the brain.
Thank you. I think that is an excellent closing statement. And we want to thank you for being here today and hope that you continue to share your wonderful knowledge and expertise. You've been listening to Music and Learning with Marianne Harmon. Thanks for listening.
This program is produced by Jack Street Media as part of the Affiliate Nanocasting Network. Thanks for listening.